We have had a very interesting 4 days. We want to conclude by 6, ladies and gentlemen, and we have 4 more witnesses. I ask that the commission, and I include myself, not to be repetitive in the questions, but get to the point. So we will go immediately to Mr. Flynn, who is next witness.
Okay, first I'm going to read quickly an affidavit, just on a corroborative point, read it into the record. It'll be marked as an exhibit, the next exhibit. It's an affidavit of Stan Herron. I, Stan Herron, reside with my wife, Annette Herron, in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was involved with the Church of Scientology from the summer of 1972 through 1978. During the time I was a member of the church in Las Vegas, Nevada, and on board L. Ron Hubbard's, the leader of Scientology ship, the Apollo, I paid more than $13,000 to Scientology. I paid this money to L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology after being told by church members in reading in L. Ron Hubbard's books, representations concerning L. Ron Hubbard's background and the benefits of Scientology. Some of the benefits I was promised to Scientology included a higher IQ, faster reaction time, total recall, complete physical health, and perfect thinking. I was told L. Ron Hubbard researched, discovered, and developed miracle cures for illnesses using the technology of Scientology. I was told L. Ron Hubbard was a nuclear physicist and had graduated from the finest institutions in the United States, Princeton University and George Washington University. I was told that L. Ron Hubbard was one of the most decorated heroes of World War II, was a world traveler and discoverer of far-off cultures, and was able to heal himself after being crippled and blinded from wounds received in battle in World War II. While in Scientology, I joined a force known as the Sea Org. Sea Org worked and carried out Hubbard's orders from aboard the ship Apollo. While on board Hubbard's ship, the Apollo, I was trained as a finance banking officer for the organization. As the finance banking officer, I was familiar with the gross income of the Scientology orgs. Orgs were required to file weekly reports to church headquarters in L. Ron Hubbard. At one point, I was responsible for ensuring at least 10% of funds from a particular Scientology org was sent to Hubbard. One primary task I had while on board the Apollo concerned accompanying George Beasley, the head flag finance banking officer, as a courier for L. Ron Hubbard of huge sums of cash in bank-wrapped bundles and carried in a briefcase to the ship from banks on shore. George Beasley told me that Hubbard had accounts in Switzerland and Africa. He told me the money was from funds sent to the Operation Transport Corporation and then subsequently transferred to numbered accounts in Switzerland and Africa. Conditions on board the ship were extremely harsh. Sleeping quarters were dark, damp, and crowded. Only 30-second showers were allowed. Worst of all, if any person disobeyed any of Hubbard's orders, he was placed in the RPF, Rehabilitation Project Force. The Rehabilitation Project Force was Hubbard's internal prison for those Scientologists who disobeyed his orders. All mail to and from the ship was censored, for I was told ship security. During this time, I received only a couple of letters my wife sent to me. She received only one of about 6 I sent her. Hubbard ordered the censoring to prevent Scientologists from writing and exposing facts about L. Ron Hubbard's broken arm, cold, sicknesses, etc. Signed under the pains and penalties of perjury this 27th day of April, 1982, Stan Herron. The next witness is an individual named Robert Dardenau, and he'll give a statement, and after that we'll read portions of an affidavit of Tanya Burden, which you have Mr. Dardenau sworn in, please. Madam Clerk, swear in the witness. Mr. Dardenau, I'll have to ask the same for 5 questions. Are you appearing here today and testifying under oath voluntarily?
Yes, I am.
Have you been paid by anyone for your testimony other than expenses for coming to the city of Clearwater?
No, sir.
Do you have a lawsuit against the Church of Scientology?
No.
Does the Church of Scientology have a lawsuit against you?
No, sir.
Has anyone suggested to you that you should state anything but the truth, or has anyone suggested that you change your testimony for any reason?
No.
Thank you. Proceed, or however you want. You have a statement to read, or you want to go through an outline, or whatever.
I'm working from an outline. I became a member of the Church of Scientology in 71 and was on staff as a staff member from 71 to 73. In 73, I left the church because of family problems, and my mother had attacked the church through the Better Business Bureau, so I was immediately taken off staff because of her legal threat to the church. During the summer of 73, I was working in Worcester, and I was shortly in August of 73, I was contacted by a member of the Guardian's office and asked to do covert data collections.
Did you say covert or covert?
Covert.
Covert.
This was happening in Boston, Massachusetts. The group that I joined was seven people. We were all assigned. We all got our orders from Boston Church, directly from the Guardian's office. And we had people in the Boston Public Libraries that would collect information and data on individuals who were attacking the church. That would be the overt data collections. The covert data collections consisted of doing surveillances on people, such as newspaper reporters, other individuals that were attacking the church at the time. The covert data collections had made placements in various government offices, such as the Attorney General's office, the Better Business Bureau, the Consumers Council, and the Law Enforcement Assistance Association. During the year that we operated together, we were able to pull off quite a few operations on different people. Some of them were successful. One of the more successful operations was stealing Paulette Cooper's medical files from her doctor's office in Belmont, Massachusetts. Along with this, we also were able to interrupt the correspondence between the Boston Globe attorney's office. The law office was Bingham, Dinner & Gould, and we placed an agent in the building, and he was cleaning the law offices at night, and he was able to review the files daily to see what new correspondence had gone on between the Globe and the Scientology. That was 1974, late 74. We also worked with letter writing campaigns to smear particular individuals. We worked on Project Freakout, Operation Snow White. These are some of the code names given to the programs that were national and worldwide programs developed by the Guardian's office for the protection of Scientology. Paulette Cooper's file was we were able to find out what doctors she was seeing and locate the office that the files were in. It was just a matter of walking in and finding the file, taking it, Xeroxing it, and bringing it back and putting it back in the file. There was a mistake made that we kept the file out of the office for a longer length of time than we should have. Other than that, the file probably would have never been missed. The group of people that I was with, there were seven people. We had rented a house about 30 miles north of Boston. We operated like the church would operate under the church policies. Our deadline, our weekend did Thursday at 2 o'clock, as the church did. We all kept statistics on particular products that we were supposed to produce. Our products were connections and incidences. For instance, there was a person that was attacking the church. We would try and find as many connections they had to other individuals, other groups, what they did on a daily basis. And those would all be counted as statistics and sent first into Boston and then up the lines, eventually to Flag. The file was, Paula Cooper's file was stolen on a Saturday afternoon. It was just a matter of driving down to the office. A couple of people got out of the van, went into the office. They were able to jump over a small partition wall and get into the office and look her name up in the file, pull the file, and just walk out of the building. There was no great security. Most of the files and most of, in fact, just being in these offices, it's very easy to, you can pull anything you want out of this office. It's security as far as people don't realize what Scientologists are after or why they may be after it in the first place. And it's very easy just to walk into most places and get the information that they want because it's not considered valuable and it's not very well protected. David Grace was the agent that was placed at the cleaning company of the lawyers, the Boston Globe lawyer's office. Now, each night he was in the lawyer's office of Bingham, Dana, and Gould, and he was able to go to the file of the Boston Globe, take the information that he wanted, use their Xerox machines, Xerox it, bring it back in the morning, and then we could send it upline to the GO in the Boston church. Any money that we needed for things that need to be done, such as Xeroxing or travel expenses, the church would give us to use what we had to. The people that were in the Better Business Bureau would interrupt complaints coming from public people about the church and basically just turn them right around and send them right back to the public with no satisfaction, although the public thought they were being satisfied because they had reached someone in the Better Business Bureau. The Attorney General's office agent was, he had uncovered a couple of attacks coming from public people. And his cover was finally blown by the fact that he requested information of the church from the Justice Department. This, Mr. Mayor mentioned Bill Foster's name before. Bill Foster was the head of this, he was the captain of this particular group. And he had been there since 1971. He was operating the overt data and the covert data collections from 71 to 76 in Boston. And it wasn't until George Bristol's cover was blown at the Attorney General's office that the line was disbanded and the group of seven people were sent to different parts of the country. Nancy and Bill Foster went to New York. George Bristol went to Canada. Two other people went out to California. And couple others, David Grace and his wife, Nancy Grace, went to the Sea Org in L.A. So the church has just an ability to move its people around very quickly and to get them out of sight. We used code names, and our reports were written in code names, so no one could really pinpoint who we were or where we were coming from. The letters that were written in the smear campaigns, the typewriters were stolen, and usually used just for a short time, and then the typewriters were destroyed. New typewriters were gotten. Everything was done with plastic gloves so that they wouldn't get fingerprints and things like this. My position on the line was, initially it was, I was head of the overt data collections, and I handled roughly five people in the Boston Public Library. We'd use all the reference sources to gather information on public officials, senators, whoever the church. We would get a list from the GO's office of who we had to investigate that particular week, and the group would go ahead and get as much information as they could on those people. Shortly after that, because of the people in overt data collections, they understood the what they were doing, so I was able to train someone, and they took over that particular post, and I moved into the covert data collections. From the covert data collections, this is where I was handling people like George Bristol, who was in the Attorney General's office, and Nancy Foster in Consumer Affairs. Nancy Grace was in the Better Business Bureau. And each week, these people would file reports of what went on a daily basis at each one of these offices. It was very difficult for a public person in Boston to make a complaint about the church and have it go anywhere. We had all the bases covered. They couldn't, they called the Attorney General's office, and George Bristol's sitting there, and he's handling all the Scientology cases. So it was just, yes, fine, ma'am, we'll take care of it. And it wouldn't go anywhere from there. When the in the consumer councils, anything that was even a hint or a mention of Scientology was brought up, as much information would we would immediately look at that individual that brought up the issue of Scientology, and he was completely investigated, find out what he did. We put people under surveillance to find out where they were going and what they were doing.
Coincidentally, I think I said this before, but it's rather an amusing anecdote from my point of view. My old law firm was Bingham, Dana & Gould, and it was burglarized, and my present law firm has just surrendered some 8,000 documents to the same organization.
The one thing about Scientologists is that they are there because they think they're buying themselves spiritual freedom. And they totally committed to the organization and to their goals. It takes an individual a long time after he's even left the church to be able to have the freedom to believe that he's going to be okay without Scientology. You've got to, as a commission, you are going to have a tough job in trying to decide what to do with this group. That's about all I have to say.
In the interest of time, I'm going to ask you one question. Do you feel that there is now, in the city of Clearwater, or has there been a smear or a cover-up, either of any city official, or by any city official, with respect to Scientology?
A cover-up by the city official, or?
By, or a city, or county, or state, or any local official, if you know of any.
No, I don't know of anything like that, but Scientology operates standardly with every org and every mission, and it's certainly going on. It's just that it hasn't been uncovered.
Well,
there are probably undercover agents here now from the church.
Since you had your act covered in Boston, I wonder if the act is covered here too. Mm-hmm.
There's a good possibility, but it's very hard to tell.
I will, again, because of time, I will yield to the next commissioner. Was that Mr. Hatchett? Was that you?
I am. All
right. Do you have any questions, Mr. Shoemaker?
Mr. Gardner, how did you leave the herb? What made you decide to come forward and testify?
Well, I've been in contact with Mr. Flynn for almost 2 years now. So it was just a matter of knowing that.
Why did you go see Mr. Flynn?
I wanted some way out of the, I was really trapped in not being able to live my life freely the way that I had been before I got into Scientology. You're brainwashed. Scientologist is a person that's been brainwashed. It's very difficult to get back into the mainstream of life. And there's usually a lot of things that are bothering the individual, just as far as their own personal life is concerned.
Did they attempt to use the information that you were involved in covert activities against you and try to keep you in the organization, or quiet? Or?
No, they had. I had to sign, as all Scientologists, if you're causing any sort of flack, you have to sign documents saying that you will not attack the church in any way.
Have they interfered since you've left with your life in any way that you're aware of?
No, not that I'm aware of.
To be clear on this, what in fact you're stating is that you have firsthand knowledge of criminal activities occurring in the city of Boston against various people. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And you actually saw it. It's not something that someone told you
about. Well, we did it as a group. We were a conspiracy formed by the church against the Boston Globe, the Attorney General's Office, the Better Business Bureau. We considered anyone and everyone an enemy of the church. Yes, him, Polly Cooper. Polly Cooper was a major major task that we worked on for a long time. Besides, just not just the fact that we had stolen her medical files, but and a lot of other types of operations were done against Mrs. Cooper.
You had indicated that the captain of the group was a Foster, Bill Foster.
Yes.
It was being alluded to earlier. Who was over him?
He was run by Deke Finn, who was head of B1, Bureau 1.
Bureau 1, and would you explain what you know of Bureau 1 to be?
All right, Bureau 1 is B1. It's the Collections Information Bureau of the Guardian's Office.
And who was over that person?
That would be the AG of Watson, the Assistant Guardian.
And do you know where they went after they left Boston?
The individuals?
Yes.
You're going to love this. Deke is down here working in Florida. I don't recall. He's not in Clearwater, but he's within one of the missions close by.
He's here in Florida?
Yes.
Someplace.
I believe he's working with a group called WISE.
What was that name?
Called what now?
WISE.
WISE.
Spell it?
W-I-S-E?
That's business community of Scientology.
It's the World Institute of Scientology Enterprises. It's a group that sells Scientology technology to businessmen to get the businessmen to use the Scientology data and technology in their business.
Are you aware, Mr. Dardenau, at any time of confidential information from auditing files or something such as that being used against individuals?
Yes. It's one of the major lies of Scientology. The auditing files, they're passed around the org all the time. It doesn't make any difference who you are. Or just about anyone can get the information out of the auditing file.
Did you personally ever see anyone else's auditing file?
No, I never had any need to.
Thank you.
Okay, Spilovank, again, I'd like
three
to be
quick,
brief.
Quick questions. Where did you learn your burglary skills?
Mostly from books and practicing.
Where did you get the practice in the books?
Just on the house that we were living in, the lock picking. You can practice lock picking.
Scientology anytime. Taught you and supplied you with the information you needed and helped train you?
Yes, sir.
Is that a policy of the church to do that?
Yes, there are very specific intelligence facts that are intelligence are trained specifically on how to do breaking and entering, how to lock pick.
And this is part of the policy of the sign?
Yes. Another thing we did, we had quite a few, would go in and look for information under the guise of a student doing research or basically lie to get information, use cover stories to get information about people or places.
Is this a policy that's done worldwide in the Scientology organization or utilized worldwide?
Yes. It's done under the training of Bureau 1 in the Guardian's office.
Any information or communication while you're in Boston engaged in these activities come from or go to Clearwater?
Yes, it did because Clearwater is flag land base.
So in essence,
virtually all the information across the planet comes to Clearwater.
So we control these type of criminal activities all over the world from flag here in Clearwater?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the person that ran the criminal practices, what's his name, Deke?
Deke Finn.
Deke Finn. He is now, to the best of your knowledge, here in Clearwater in a local mission running the WISE.
WISE. I'm not sure what city it is. It's not Clearwater.
It's in Florida somewhere.
In Florida. Running. Somewhere within an hour and a half of Clearwater.
Working with WISC,
yes.
Which is selling Scientology technology to private industries or private businesses.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's all.
All right, Mr. Burfield.
Just a couple quick ones. You said that you had a lawsuit against the Scientologists?
No, I did not have a lawsuit.
They have one against you?
No, sir.
Can you tell us just very briefly what motivated you to come down here today?
Just the fact that I know it's important. Scientology has been putting the screws to a lot of people for a lot of time. I spent 6 years and $15,000 there. The kids and the people that are being indoctrinated into the church they're being duped into it. The person is just swallowed up by the church. They're not allowed to think for themselves. You go into the church and you're immediately fed with L. Ron Hubbard's data, and you're not allowed to use any of your own information and experiences to evaluate your present situation. You're completely isolated from society, and you think you're doing the best thing in the world. You think you're going to help the world. And you become so dedicated and ingrained in the doctrine of L. Ron Hubbard.
How would you describe the practice of Scientology?
How would I describe it?
Yes. Are they honest, deceptive?
They're just money-making. That's all I want to do, is make a buck.
Okay, Mr. Garvey, any questions?
Yes, just a couple. Sir, why did you leave? What finally was the break point?
I was, after the line was broken up because of the out-of-securityness and George Bristol's cover being blown at the Attorney General's office, I went down to FOLO, Flag Liaison Office in New York, and I was training there to become a missionaire. But Deke Finn and I had several personality conflicts. He had called me back to Boston, and I was security check for about 6 hours. And after that, security checking is can get pretty brutal at times, and I just had enough and decided to leave.
Why? What was your justification for your burglarizing and stealing of files?
That Scientology was going to save the planet and free the world, and we were right, and everyone else was wrong.
And these were enemies. Did you receive detailed reports that you had to follow on your operation?
No, our reports were all typed and handwritten. We didn't receive any written information from the higher sources. It was all given verbally, or if it was given in written form at all, the written form was destroyed immediately after it was received.
Okay.
One just quick question of the record. You mentioned someone recruited you into the Dirty Tricks movement from the Guardian's office. Would you like to give me that name of that person who recruited you?
Yes, that was Gary Brown.
Gary Brown. Okay, again, because of the time constraints we're under, we're going to, if that's all the questions we have.
I've got
this point.
One quick. So your beliefs in Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, and the policies that come from that organization induced you into criminal activities?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Right, that's it.
Mr. Flynn has asked me to clarify that at the time that I was involved in these activities, Flag was not located in Clearwater. Flag was still on board the Apollo, because these activities ended in, or as far as I was concerned, ended in early 76.
Okay, thank you very much. You have an... I'd like to see if we can clarify that, Kate. What's your best memory? When? Whatever your best memory is.
I believe it ended in 1976.
Thank you.